Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions. Right here, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, clinching the number one seed in the AFC. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, my friend? How are we doing?
I am fabulous today. What a day yesterday was, not just for the Titans, but for the NFL. There are so many fascinating storylines, and there are so many teams that everything went right for yesterday.
Yep, and there's one in particular that went very wrong for in the Indianapolis Colts. How about that one yesterday, dropping it to the Jags?
You know, you talk about, this is first for the Titans. First, the Titans, you win the AFC, and the Colts get knocked out. I mean, in Jacksonville, that is unbelievable. That is a perfect day. And the Ravens get knocked out. That is a perfect day. This is as good of a day as a Titan fan could ever have. You're Jacksonville. You knock off the Colts for the, sixth, seventh time in a row in Jacksonville, which is crazy because they stink. I mean, the Titans have had their bugaboos, but at least it was to good teams. They've lost to a bad team over and over again, and the Jags still get the first pick in the draft. It's absolutely unbelievable. The Steelers win and somehow avoid a tie last night to sneak into the playoffs, and the Lions beat their rival Packers, even though they stink, and they still get the second pick in a year where there are no quarterbacks to pick first. Those organizations all had great games.
It really Thank you is. For mentioning the Lions. Yes. The roar is so on the way to being restored, Corey.
I had money on your Lions yesterday.
Hey, man. They got it done. No question about it. So, Corey, how do you kind of put into words what this accomplishment means for the Titans? Obviously, there's the postseason part of this where you're looking ahead, and we'll be breaking down the divisional matchups for sure. But the fact that they were able to get to this point, getting the number one seed in the AFC, given the 91 players that they've used this year, how do you put into words what kind of an accomplishment this is for the Titans?
Well, I mean, I like what some of the players have said. I think it was Kevin Byard who talked about the fact that, you know, they've accomplished what they need to at this point. They've put themselves in position to be where they need to be at this point in the regular season. So they understand that really they've accomplished nothing. The accomplishment comes in January and February. Nobody remembers what you did the other 3-4 months if you don't do it in January, February. So they've just put themselves in position to be successful. So I like their attitude about that. And the other thing, guys, is if Mike Vrabel doesn't win NFL Coach of the Year, they just need to get rid of the award. You said it, 91 players, your best player out for the last 9 weeks. And he didn't just keep their heads above water. They won games, and they didn't just beat the bad teams on their schedule. The heck, they lost a couple of those. They beat some of the very best teams on their schedule with lineups that you thought had no business doing it. I mean, he did an utterly fabulous job of keeping this team with its eyes on the prize, knowing what is most important right now, and just truly believing not just in the next man up, but that the next man up in front of them is good enough to get the job done. It's fantastic for them. I think in a year where the AFC is totally up for the grabs, that the first round bye is incredibly important, you know, advancing to round two, because as we saw last year, there are no guarantees in round one. And so I think it's incredibly important and an amazing accomplishment, and it's pretty exciting for the fans here because, you know, you didn't know that they were going to do it when you saw some of the bodies go down that you saw them down.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a scene in that stadium on either that Saturday or Sunday in a couple weeks. Corey, from yesterday, how much positivity do you take from Ryan Tannehill in the passing game? How much concern do you take from the way the defense played in the second half?
Well, I mean, I take a measured amount of positivity from the passing game in Tannehill because it's the first time I feel like I've seen it where you had AJ and Julio, you know, and you kind of saw what that could mean. And, you know, they really you know, complement each other. They both made plays. And the other thing is, I think they really open things up for Anthony Firkser. You know, I think there's more gaps in the field for him with those guys out there. At least there have been the last couple of weeks. You've seen him emerge with more clutch plays and be kind of the complimentary guy that we thought that he would be. So that is the other thing that I take away from that with Tannehill is, you know, we always talk. I know there are people who like Tannehill can do no wrong, and then there's people who Tannehill can do no right. Tannehill's a good player, but we continue to wait for him to carry this team. You know, when all the chips are down, can he pick the whole team up? Can he make everybody better? And I thought that was him yesterday. I thought he did that. I thought he was their MVP yesterday. And, you know, I don't care that it was against the Texans. It was an NFL football team. And, you know, he carried them to that victory. They struggled to run the ball early when they kind of put it in his hands finally, because the Texans were selling out against the run early. You know, he got them moving. And so I thought that those were real big positives for them. Defensively, I have no idea what happened. I mean, how you cannot guard Danny Amendola, I got no idea. I mean, I'm sitting here last night at my desk until like 11:30 trying to figure out how come they couldn't stop Danny Amendola. I don't know. I mean, you stop Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is like a 4.28 guy, and they stopped him, but you can't stop Danny. I have gotten no explanation, none whatsoever, except that I will say this. Davis Mills really made some nice throws in the second half. The Texans put the game in his hands. The pass rush has got to be better. I think that, you know, in the second half, you know, there were times where they put pressure on him, but they needed to be able to put more pressure on him because he was slinging it back there to that 36-year-old guy who I thought was going to be out of the league 5 years ago.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, what do you make of the AFC bracket? Obviously, the Raiders get in there last night with a win. The Steelers sneak their way into the playoff first-round matchup between the Bills and the Patriots. What do you think of the way this is shaking out here in the AFC?
Well, I think really, to me, there are three real contenders in the Titans, Bills, and Chiefs. I think Bengals have got weapons without question. I just don't know that they're ready yet. You know, I kind of next year, I think everybody's going to be pointing to the Bengals, and maybe they're hot at the right time. Burrow's healthy and they get going, but I view those other three teams as the real contenders. Patriots do not have enough dudes. They do not have enough dudes in my eyes to be considered a serious contender in the playoffs. Big Ben can't throw the ball more than 8 yards. They are not a serious contender. The Raiders have rode this huge wave of emotion, you know, to getting here, and I congratulate them, you know, on the accomplishment of reaching the postseason, because, you know, nobody thought they were going to do it. But again, I just don't consider them good enough, you know, to win three games in the postseason. And so I look at the Bills, Chiefs, and Titans, and it's between them. One of those three teams will be playing in L.A. or Dallas or wherever in February. And, you know, I think the fact that the Titans aren't going to have to play the Chiefs or the Bills until the AFC Championship game is really, really promising, because I feel good no matter who their divisional matchup is going to be, that it's going to be a favorable one for them.
No, I totally agree with that assessment. I think those are the three teams. You know, I'm with you on the Bengals. I do think the Bengals could be it could be scary.
They're
the
dangerous.
Titans, yeah, they're dangerous. Those are receivers and Burrow. And this, you know, this defense, Corey, it hasn't seen a lot of good passing attacks in recent weeks. I mean, it's had some good matchups from that perspective. This would be a tough one, but I agree. I mean, I think, I still think the Titans should be favored. So, what other than the obvious that won't happen, which is the Steelers stunning the Chiefs and being the team that comes in here, would you say then that the Titans would sounds like you would prefer the Raiders as the matchup for the Titans to give the Titans a better chance of advancing over the Bengals?
Yes, I would say Raiders over the Bengals, but I would rather see the Patriots over the Bengals. And I don't know about the Raiders or Patriots. It's a toss. Guys, I don't worry about the Patriots at all. I mean, the guys they're putting on the field, I do not worry about them at all. You saw what they did to finish the season, okay? They don't have a lot of impressive victories, in my estimation. They beat the Bills in a windstorm. Otherwise, they get swept by Buffalo this year, and they're a 9-8 team and not a 10-7 team. And the Titans gift-wrapped a victory for them. You know, congratulations for them making the playoffs. They still need more guys.
Well, Corey, the firings have begun in the NFL. Mike Zimmer out as Vikings head coach. Rick Spielman out as Vikings GM. Still nothing on Matt Nagy, though. Still hanging around.
You know, it's the fact that the Vikings have fired the Siliki Hall of Famer at GM is really upsetting. And they're going to probably suffer for a long time, the Siliki NFL curse. You don't get away with firing SIU people and not plaguing you for the next 50 years.
That's
but,
right.
You know, you make your choices. He did sign Kirk Cousins for that deal, so I guess he's got to live that one down. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. You know, you've always got to have a plan, and you would think that, you know, the Bears have a plan. When you drafted Justin Fields, you know, what you wanted. I don't know who you go get. I know Joe Brady didn't work out in Carolina, but I was very enamored with Joe Brady when the season started, so I'll be interested to see who goes there. And, you know, let's see who else gets, I mean, you know, we got to see, does Rule get fired? You know, who else is on the chopping block? I think if David Culley gets fired in Houston, it's a crime. I mean, the fact that he won four games with that team and had them playing hard to the finish, I thought he did a good job. I mean, he and his coaching staff did a good job. They were put in a horrible, horrible situation. And so I thought he did a nice job. And if you're firing him, it's just because you had no intention of keeping him and made him a Deshaun Watson sacrificial lamb. So that's going to be interesting to see. And then what happens with Pete Carroll? You know, does he stay in Seattle or does he move on? And is there another round of young coaches that's out there? Because that's, you know, kind of the way just about everybody has gone. And then where does – I know Munchak's daughter and grandchildren live in Denver, so whoever takes over that job may just want to keep him there. But if he's a free agent at offensive line coach, I think that's kind of a bidding war to get him, don't you?
Yeah, I would say so. Been a pretty darn good offensive line coach for a long time in this league. It's going to be an interesting day in the NFL. We'll see what happens with the firings across the league at this point. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Show. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
All right. Thank you, Robbie. Look forward to the Super Bowl when the Titans get to take on your Packers.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Predicted that for the season, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. The Titans and the Packers, baby. Here we go.
Yeah, I've never, ever said I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. And last week I just kind of settled on it. I said I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I like the way it sets up for them, and I like the toughness of this team because they can take a punch and they do not panic. I mean, yesterday would have been a golden day to panic, and they just put their head down and made plays and won the football game.
It's going to be a heck of a ride here over the next couple of weeks. I don't think there's any question about that. Corey, appreciate you, brother.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Do I take a victory lap with the Titans and Packers both being the one seed, or do I still have to wait?
Well, no. Yeah, you don't get a victory lap right now. Okay. One seeds don't always make it.
I was just checking.
But you have a good chance, though, and you can take a victory lap when it happens.
Okay, cool.
I'll wear a cheese head, too.
Cheesehead in an orange sweatshirt.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter as well. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, the firings are coming out in the NFL right now. We talked about it with Corey in the last segment. Mike Zimmer fired as head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, along with Rick Spielman, their GM. Now news out there that the Chicago Bears have fired Matt Nagy. Don't think that's a huge surprise, but two head coaches down in the NFC North.
Dan Campbell stands, along with Matt LaFleur, alone.
Yes.
Was Schefter listening to the show and heard you say how they hadn't said anything? And then, oh, crap, I forgot to tweet that.
Must have been.
Yeah, no surprise.
He was checking in on Derrick Henry, see if he's going to play this week or not, or next week.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't heard much from him lately on that. I'm glad you brought up either you, whoever brought it up, you or Corey. Maybe it was Corey on David Culley. Let me tell you something. And talking to some people who cover the Texans yesterday here in Houston, there's a growing feeling it may happen. That would be an absolute joke. And if they fire him to, like, bring in Josh McDaniels, you know, we're not supposed to be rooting for things. I will root hard against the Texans for the rest of their existence if they do that to David Culley. He's done actually really good job this year.
I agree.
The way they played yesterday, the what they've done on the field this year, he inherited an absolute poop burger, okay? And look, there's some people who wouldn't take that job. David Culley finally gets an opportunity, long awaited, and I think he's done really well with it. Look, there's been some in-game stuff against the Patriots. He made a big mistake and all that. I get it. But things like that, I think you can work on. What he clearly can do in leading a team, I don't see how you could look at it this year and not be impressed. But beyond that, if they fire him when everybody knew they were garbage this year, then they lied to Houston and all the Texans fans about what he is and about what their plan was. It was never their plan then to keep him. He was just a guy they brought in to be a caretaker.
Yep.
And then let's go get our Patriots family guy. I tell you what, man, they better not do it. It would be a travesty. So keep an eye on that. But based on some conversations I had yesterday in the press box, it sounds like maybe it's moving that way. That would be so ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous. I mean, David Culley elevated Davis Mills, for God's sake. What more do you want?
He was able to see, you know, through the trees, the forest through the trees.
He was.
No, but glad you can turn that into a Davis Mills joke opportunity.
That's what I'm here for.
David Culley, Sparta, Tennessee, Vanderbilt legend. But really, like, I've been impressed. The dude almost swept Vrabel this year.
I know.
had no business ever beating him once. That would be – and I'm really interested. To me, the stability of him with a better team as they move forward could be interesting. If they rip this up and go get a McDaniels, let's lose. I mean, just drop to the basement, man. You're going to be looking up at the Jags.
Is there any chance whatsoever that Frank Reich gets fired today by Indy?
I don't really think so. I mean, I think it's the fact that it's even being discussed is incredible. I mean, think about 2 weeks ago, someone saying, hey, what do you guys think? Maybe Frank Reich will be in the hot seat in a couple weeks. What? So I don't think so. That would be pretty shocking. But I got to think there's at least a real hard conversation today. And that's where I think you have to look. Like, how did you, especially yesterday? Yes, you lost two games in a row. All you had to do is win one of them and get in the playoffs. But yesterday, how do you go down there and play like that? How does that happen?
I don't know.
I'd be surprised if he gets fired. I'd put it at 6%.
This coming from Dan Duggan, who covers the New York Giants for The Athletic, says, Giants coach Joe Judge currently meeting with owner John Mara, per source. Judge obviously has to be presenting a plan for how he can turn things around. We'll see if he convinces ownership. The third and nine quarterback sneak they did yesterday, probably not doing much to convince ownership that he has what it takes to turn things around. But when you have, look, when you got guys on your coaching staff like Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Dooley, I mean, you can see this thing turn around pretty quick.
Exactly. You can't break up that dream team. Joe Judge!
They might be the worst team in football. That's interesting. Like, seriously, like the way they ended the season, I don't know that there's anybody worse than the New York Giants. I really don't.
Jersey.
You know, at some point, we need to revisit our playoff picks. I want to say, Robbie.
I did.
Great pick on Packers Titans, but you did. You had the Giants in the playoffs, did you not?
I did. Sure did. But thought that Adoree Jackson signing would push him over the top. That worked out.
But seriously, I mean, I didn't think they were a playoff team, but I certainly thought they were better than this. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be really interesting. But if you just listen to Joe Judge talk about it, he'll tell you. It's very obvious that things are turning around. We may not see it with the way they play football, but behind the scenes, going really well. Free agents are begging to come to Jersey.
Yeah, did you hear the report a couple weeks ago that apparently, like, behind closed doors, Joe Judge was like, yeah, we've had some guys that used to be here kind of reach out from other teams and wish they were still here. And, like, yeah, I bet guys left and right are like, you know what? I know we've gone elsewhere and are winning games now and are getting paid more money, but you know where we'd really like to be? The New York Giants, baby.
Yeah, I want to see these texts. Joe, I miss you guys so much. I totally blew it, man. I totally blew it. Yeah.
You know, Antonio Brown would have released those texts.
Yeah, he would have.
Oh, there's a another entire story that we don't have time to get in right now before the break. But what about, real quick, speaking of Antonio Brown, all that stuff, do you buy that the Bucs, I mean, I know that they ended up coming back yesterday. Now they got the 2 seed because the Rams blew it. Do you actually buy that the Bucs could do this again?
Yeah,
without him and without Godwin?
Yeah, they got Tom Brady. Absolutely buy it.
Yeah, they got Tom Brady. That's true.
Got a good defense. I still think that defense, there's another level we can get to come playoff time. So, yes, I think they can get back there. I was really hoping they'd end up, it's like the, I don't know, 4 seed. Been awesome. Like Bucks, Cardinals first round. I'd have been okay with that.
Yeah, and so instead, they're going to crush the Eagles, and then they're probably looking at the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Bucks, Cowboys. Yeah.
Which could be interesting.
That could be fun.
Could be very interesting. We'll see what happens on that front. We got a lot of thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in, have we heard from Indy Ben today on the text line? We have not. Indy Ben
has been
quite quiet today on the text line. We'll get to more of your thoughts coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And the firings keep on coming in the NFL. Matt Nagy out as head coach of the Bears. They've just fired their general manager, Ryan Pace, as well. Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman out in Minnesota. So the GM and coaches fired both the Vikings and the Bears. And now it's come out that Brian Flores has been fired by the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, he got fired by the Dolphins, according to Schefter. So Brian Flores out in Miami. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
No. Wow. Well, first of all, on the Bears thing, you know, what Michelle or you tweeted at Corey, like, hey, okay, they did fire Nagy. And then he's like, well, what about Ryan Pace? And then Schefter's like, oh, yeah, oh, sorry. By the way, they fired Ryan Pace. No surprise there. Wow, Flores. Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Chris Greer apparently staying as general manager in Miami. According to Rappaport, a power struggle in Miami. So Brian Flores loses that battle.
Third year?
It may be his second year.
God, is it just his second year? Holy
cow. Nah, it's his third. It's his third year. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, man. I mean, look, they do count as one of the disappointing teams in the league this year, given expectations. They also, I think, the expectations were a little bit inflated because they overachieved. See, this is where you hurt yourself by overachieving, yeah. You know? You inherit a bad team. You start over at quarterback. You go ahead and, you know, trade away a pretty good quarterback, as it turns out, you know, to get a fourth-round pick back, and you take on five of his $7 million in salary. But you go 5-11 that first year. Last year, you go 10-6, overachieve. I mean, who was Flores coach of the year last year?
He might have been. I need to go back and look.
I don't know that he was, but he was certainly a candidate for that. No, I don't think you want to. But
Stefanski,
but,
you know, coach of the year last year.
Stefanski. Yeah, there's another guy. Who knows? You'd see something on him today. Yeah. Probably not. But I mean, I would not have guessed Flores. I mean, you overachieve, you're ahead of schedule. And then, yeah, this year, you're a disappointment overall. Early in the season, you're a huge disappointment. You did get yourself back into potential, you know, into position to make the playoffs. You end up 9-8.
They won out of 9 games to close out the season.
Yeah, it's this league, man. This league, in giving up on coaches and giving up on quarterbacks, it's never been more knee-jerk than it is right now. Not even close.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's pretty incredible. We'll keep you updated on the coaches' firings and what all's going on around the league right now. As Rappaport points out, says, Brian Flores was a significant reason why Deshaun Watson wanted to be in Miami. With Flores out, this situation may have changed. So that's another thing to keep an eye on that front as well. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, yesterday was one of the best days in recent Titans history. Loved watching the Colts get their hearts crushed. Now bring me the Patriots so the Titans can get their revenge as well. So Matt rooting for the Patriots to be in here as the opponent in the divisional round. Yesterday was a pretty good day to be a Titans fan. You clinched the one seed, and you watch Indianapolis just totally throw it all away.
And I know people are going to laugh. And it's a maybe a laughable thing to say, but I still think that just isn't really a game you wanted to have. And that's my vision of the playoffs was the Colts are going to be the six. They're going to go into Cincinnati and run all over the Bengals and, you know, lock it down on Burrow, and they're going to come in here, and it's going to be hard to beat them a third time. Yes, you can laugh at this now that they just got beat by the Jaguars, but it's not just a good thing because you hate the Colts and you like to see them suffer. I still think it's a good thing to get them out of there, and I would tend to agree with Corey Curtis on your point about the Patriots, you know, if you want the Patriots' revenge. Now, if the Patriots are coming to Nissan Stadium, that means they won an awfully impressive game at Buffalo.
Yeah.
So they did some good things to get there. So you have to take that seriously. But I would like that matchup a second time around for the Titans with their actual team on the field as opposed to what they had on the field in that game.
I got a texture that says, I can't remember the last time I heard anyone as giddy about a team losing as Robbie is about the Colts loss. Am I gloating too much about the Colts loss? I think it's pretty funny. Get 7 Pro Bowlers, talk about Jonathan Taylor MVP, and you get absolutely canned by the Jacksonville Jaguars close out the season. It's pretty funny to me.
And I just tweeted my buddy and coworker Bob Kravitz, the Athletics column, which does not pull punches on the Colts, calls it the worst regular season loss in franchise history. Just the fact that it was like a clown show, actual clown show in the stands, like yeah. The Jaguars fans were wearing clown outfits to protest their organization, and then they beat the Colts. I mean, how can you not be giddy and gloating about that and laughing? I want to take one quick issue with Kravitz. He says, I haven't seen such an unfulfilling and disappointing ending since the finale of The Sopranos. I like the finale of The Sopranos. But apart from that, very good. And his primary target is Ballard, not Reich. You know, Ballard not spending money in free agency, not addressing receiver, not addressing pass rush, not addressing tight end. It's some fair points. You know, they let Denico Autry and Justin Houston go.
Yeah.
And we saw in this town what Denico Autry can do for a defense. they rely on rookies Kwity Paye and Deo Odeyingbo. And you know, Deo from Vanderbilt, Achilles. But you have to know that as a GM. And yesterday, zero pressure on Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, you got to laugh at them a little bit, don't you? A seven Pro Bowler, all-world GM and coach, greatest running back ever. You got to laugh at them a little bit today.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Danny texting in says, with all the firings, do you see Jim Harbaugh going back to the NFL? Seems like he's almost peaked at Michigan. There does seem to be at least a little bit of chatter on Jim Harbaugh maybe making his return to the NFL. What do you think about that one?
Well, I know another of our writers, Vic Tafur, a friend of the show, covers the Raiders. He wrote something about their potential opening, which, again, maybe there shouldn't be an opening, but there's been a lot. There's been Harbaugh noise, and his reporting is like that's not coming from the Raiders at all. So until I see Harbaugh go to an NFL team, I'm going to believe that Jim Harbaugh is like, I just took a pay cut, a huge pay cut. And I just got Michigan, the Big Ten championship for the first time in 17 years, and we just went to the playoff. I'm getting my money back. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah.
Now, if he actually goes, then I'll apologize for that one, too. I read this as Harbaugh's people making all kinds of noise about NFL jobs, so Michigan is compelled to basically restore his salary or maybe even go beyond it.
Andrew on the text line says, I'm ready for another offseason hearing that the Browns and Colts will be challenging each other in the AFC Championship next year. Every year, these clowns get so much love. That's coming from Andrew on the text line.
I'll say this on behalf of the Browns. I still think that is a talented roster. There's a team I picked for the playoffs, by the way, that wasn't in the playoffs.
I don't think you're alone there.
Yeah. I mean, the Browns, as compared to the Colts, I think the Browns had terrible luck. I think if you go through the teams in the league that had the worst luck this year in injuries, I think the top three would be Titans, Ravens, and Colts. Titans, Ravens, and Browns. That comes to mind as a top three of bad luck. And of course, the Ravens and Browns don't make the playoffs. The Titans are the one seed. So let's come back around to why Vrabel should win Coach of the Year. But there is a lot of hype for the Browns have other times in the past not lived up to the hype. The Colts usually, you know, the Colts have a certain identity, kind of like the Steelers. Like the fact that the Steelers are in the playoffs this year, it's just incredible.
Joe is really hating on the Steelers today. I think every segment.
They suck. They suck. You know they do. I know you're a Steelers fan, but like they're not a playoff team, and yet
here they are.
Yet here they are, though.
I think that speaks to. I mean, shoot, let's throw Mike Tomlin in Coach of the Year stuff again. I mean, it's like an annual thing with him, and I think it speaks to their franchise identity a little bit too, right? And then you contrast that with, like, the Browns' franchise identity.
Yeah.
But the Colts, like, the Steelers being in and the Colts being out, it's probably not how it should be. Like, the Chargers and Colts should both be in the postseason. But here we are.
Kelton texting in says, even though Joe hates week 18, it provided the most drama out of all the weeks. This is coming from Kelton on the text line. What do you think of that 17 game NFL schedule now, Joe Rexroad?
Well, that same game last night could have been a week earlier, but sure, it was pretty good. I'll give you that. I mean, ultimately, like, complaining about more football is probably pointless.
When we come back, it is time for Joe Rexroad's three best and three worst performances yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get to those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, we'll get caught up with them with Darren McFarland coming up here to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get Darren's thoughts on the Titans and the Predators pretty good time to be a Nashville sports fan in this area. I don't think there's any question about that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. The Titans get it done yesterday, 28-25, the final score against the Texans. They clinch the number one seed in the AFC. Joe Rexroad, you were there in person. You are live from Houston as we speak. Let's begin, as we do every week, with your three best performers yesterday for the Titans, starting with number one.
You know, what's so weird here is that I don't know how many weeks the three best have been offensive players, yeah, and the three worst have been defensive players, but here we are.
Number one.
Nice.
Thank you. Ryan Tannehill is number one for me. He and I think Corey Curtis put it well when we had him on earlier. You know, there were some moments there where he actually carried this team. He was MVP. He's a quarterback, but like they were, it was getting a little shaky. You know, had they lost the one seed yesterday, like you'd still, by comparison, you could still kind of point and laugh at Indianapolis, right? But that would have been a big downer to get swept by the Texans. And again, you won two games yesterday. You won that game, and you won this coming weekend's game.
Yeah.
You get a bye. And Tannehill, that escape from the sack and a lot of other big throws, third down throws, spreading it around to different guys, going through his reads, getting the time, which is a big deal. But I thought he was really good.
Your second best performer for the Titans yesterday.
Number two.
Oh, there we go, baby. Julio Jones. I'm going to go Julio. He look, I when the stuff he said Friday, I was like, yeah, man, this isn't about like defenses or opportunities. This is just you've been hurt, and that's a big part of the reason. But you haven't been all that explosive or dangerous. Yesterday, he looked like a guy who can help this team in the playoffs, and that's a huge deal. Because Nick Westbrook-Ikhina also is playing well and is certainly one of the stories of this season for this team. And Anthony Firkser's emergence is very timely as well. But still, to me, Julio Jones getting his first touchdown, and even on some plays he didn't make, getting behind the defense once was really encouraging to see.
At number three for your best Titans from
number
yesterday.
Number three.
A lot of possibilities here, but I'm going with Dontrell Hilliard. It was very interesting to me that on the decisive drive after the Texans made it 28-25, Hilliard was the choice in the backfield. And Hilliard had, of course, the huge third down run. That was an interesting call there by Downing. Got it done. Didn't get it done by much. You know, and Cully tried to challenge. It's worth a challenge, but he clearly got it. And then, of course, I really liked the call by Downing on the little pitch. Going left with everything flowing right, let Hilliard be in space, use that speed, get the first down, stay in bounds, and end the game. I mean, 9 carries, 57 yards. He had one catch. But what we found out in the last few days is Dontrell Hilliard is going to be the Titans' third down back in the playoffs. And I really like him, again, as long as the trust is there, as much as it was for Jeremy McNichols, I really like the fact that he gives them also more of an opportunity. If you want to give him the ball, if you want to give him a carry here and there, he can do something with it.
Yeah, 6.3 yards per carry yesterday for Dontrell Hilliard, 9 carries for 57 yards. So your top three performers, Tannehill, Julio Jones, and Dontrell Hilliard. Joe Rexroad, your worst three performances yesterday for the Titans, beginning with number one.
Number one.
Well, I'm going to go with Janoris Jenkins. Getting sucked into the flea flicker, that was a big, big play. He had some other, moments that weren't great. I didn't think it was like there was a whole bunch of, bad performances on defense. But obviously, they didn't do enough in pass rush, and they certainly had some coverage issues. And I just think Jenkins has kind of been coming on. And yesterday was another little step back for him. They're going to need him to be at his best for sure moving forward.
And he was not yesterday. I don't think there's any question about that. Your second worst performer for the Titans yesterday.
Number two.
Sorry. So Elijah Molden had, in some ways, I mean, he had a really, especially early, just a really active day, physical. I mean, he tied David Long second in the team with six tackles. He had a TFL. He made some good plays. And then all of a sudden, it was like Danny Amendola is about to eat your lunch. And that's that was the matchup a lot. Now, the second Amendola touchdown was when Molden got hurt, had to leave. Chris Jackson comes in for him. Texans immediately go at Jackson, and he gets beat badly by Amendola for the touchdown. But, you know, Molden, there was some plays there where, like, he just gave up some big completions. And, again, first of all, he's someone to watch injury-wise because he was hurt along with Christian Fulton. Fulton came back. I don't believe Molden did. That's someone to watch. But that was a tough second half for him.
At number three in your worst performances yesterday.
Number three.
So I'm going to go just with a guy I didn't see a lot, and that's Harold Landry. I think Harold Landry has had a great season. I know he's had a great season, 12 sacks. Again, he's been an Iron Man for the Titans. He's there every week. But I feel like he's probably still a little bit banged up slash affected here. He just hasn't looked like himself a lot lately. And I mean, when I look at that pass rush, I saw Dupree a few times. Simmons got the big sack. Kyle Pico had a big one too. Those were the two sacks they had. But you want to see more from Landry in the postseason. I just thought yesterday the pass rush wasn't there, and you still start with him when it comes to pass rush. Team's leading, you know, sack guy who's had a heck of a season. I think this will be a really handy extra week off for him as well.
So not a great performance yesterday in the second half by the Titans defense. Your concern level about you, what you saw overall from that side of the ball in the second half against Houston yesterday?
Well, I'd say I kind of think it was good. And I kind of agree with what Kevin Byard said after the game. You know, that look, this defense's numbers have been tremendous, and especially in the, down the stretch here. They've been right near the top of the league in a lot of categories. You know, of course, they give up three to the Dolphins. They shut out the Jags. But they have, as we've talked about a lot, they've shut down some offenses that don't scare you a lot with their passing game. And if it's the Raiders or the Bengals in the first game, you know, the Bengals, we know what Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Boyd, Higgins can do. If it's the Raiders, you know, I mean, Derek Carr is a dangerous quarterback. He's a lot more dangerous than the quarterbacks you've been seeing lately. Waller is a real matchup problem. Edwards, I mean, they've got passing, you know, potency. So if it's one of those two, now if the Patriots beat the Bills, then it's a different kind of deal. But you know, they're gonna have to get pressure on the quarterback. The pass rush is, I still think, has been probably still the best part of this team. The pass rush and running the football have been the top things that this team has had on a consistent basis this year. It's going to have to come back and be really good. But I think with that time off, whoever it is, and being at home in that atmosphere, you know, I think you're going to see the pass rush improve. But I think this is a good little bit of humbling film, that second half. That's the most points the Titans have given up in a half all season to Davis Mills and the Texans. With the number one seed on the line. So it's some good humbling film coming. I would say it's just a little bit of a reality dose, but I still think this defense can play well enough to advance in the postseason.
ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for the College Football National Championship game, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Tonight, make sure you're tuning in to 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 for the College Football National Championship as Alabama takes on Georgia. The kickoff is set for 7 p.m. 312 Pizza Company is family-owned and operated, bringing you a slice of Chicago to Nashville. They specialize in deep-dish pizza, thin crust, and all things Chicago-style. Plus, it's the perfect spot to catch the championship game coming up later tonight, so make sure you keep that in mind. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans clinching the number one seed in the AFC, also the red-hot Nashville Predators as well. All that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.